It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. Of course, we're doing that every morning and as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. It's a Wednesday morning, the middle of our working week, the 24th day for April. We are just one day away from Anzac Day. Yes, tomorrow, a day of remembrance across Australia. And this morning, well, we're going to be taking a look at a little bit of a slice of Aussie history that is actually up for sale. I'm really curious to find out about this. It's the old Castlemaine Jail, which is complete with 80 jail cells. And the site years ago was transformed by artists David and Yugi Bromley. It's built in 1861. And it sprawls over 1.73 hectares. So let's find out a little bit about this. And let's welcome in David and Yugi. And good morning to both of you. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast.
Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Craig.
Well, let's start at the very beginning because I'm curious as to how you ended up buying this ex-jail, because I'm imagining your friends and your family might think that this was a very bold move. But as I understand it, most of your friends and family thought, well, this is another journey that you're going on.
Yeah, no one flinched. You know, there were certainly people that found its previous history rather uncomfortable. Almost the drive home from first seeing it and realizing that we were going to chase it, that we would put a museum in it, and we wanted people to feel semi-comfortable. I mean, there's a certain amount of fun in people being shocked or frightened, or that's sort of, I think, you know, part of the drama of the whole thing. So certainly some people didn't like it. Certainly some people didn't want to go in it. And one of our many children sort of shed a few tears when we were going to be staying there one night about sleeping there. And as we only live 25 minutes away from it, yeah, we drove home back to the comfort of TV in a comfortable house. I said, look, if you don't want to stay there, you don't have to. But some mates of ours and ourselves and a couple of our younger kids stayed there one night. One of my old mates slept under the gallows. Some of our mates are as crazy as us.
Yeah. So, Yugi, I wonder what your experience was when you first saw this ex-jail. You started talking, having this conversation, and David saying, yeah, look, we could purchase this and turn it into a bit of a museum. What were some of your first initial thoughts and feelings?
Craig, at one stage in my life and my relationship with David, I thought that there would be a bit of calm after some of the big projects we were working on or big transformations, because we had taken on some other property before the jail and made, you know, large transformations of the spaces. And I think in 2018, we'd just come off the back of a really busy year, and we had this moment to sort of breathe. And I was already preempted that something big was on the horizon, because David started murmuring to me. He said, maybe we should look for something really unusual and interesting that we could put our own stamp on. So rather than a project that we were engaged by someone else to do, he was getting the itch and he really wanted to do something big. It wasn't happenstance that the jail just fell onto our lap. We had reached out to a friend of ours who was a real estate agent and said, hey, just keep your eye out. If there's anything, you know, unusual, you sort of know us. We've embodied different heritage properties in the past. So she knew our tastes. She showed us a couple of places that didn't have that same, I don't want to keep using the word crazy, but I don't think it was as wild as perhaps we were looking for. And then one day she just said, guys, I've got something that might interest you, an historic prison in Castlemaine. And, you know, I closed my eyes and kind of went gulp and thought, I don't know whether I want to visit this place. Whereas David just went, yes, 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 yes. Can we meet you there this afternoon, or can we meet you there tomorrow morning? He was like a, you know, the red rag to the bull.
And also, Yugi, I want to ask you this, because the jail, it's a sad place. It is despair, depravity. There's a loss of freedom, and you're looking at totally transforming the space into, well, it's been described as whimsical with some romance. So, I mean, how do you sort of go from what I just described into a more lighter flavour, if you like, of an uplifting environment?
Well, there were a few things. The first one was that David and I knew we couldn't rush into it. The first time we stepped into the building, it felt very much like an institution, and in many ways it was portrayed that way. You know, the old jail tours, ghost tours, it really played off of that dark history. And for us, I guess that guiding goal for ourselves of trying to transform the very sense of how you felt when you walked in, you know, we knew that it needed to take time. It wasn't something that you could do within the space of, say, 12 months or so. He's known as an artist, but in many ways he sees art in everything. But one of his main passions is for gardening. He is like Johnny Appleseed. He just plants and just loves garden. He tends to his gardens constantly. It was one of the big goals for us, was to transform, you know, a lot of areas on the grounds in particular that were very dry. They were barren. They fed into that sense of despair. And on the flip side, you know, we wanted to make all of a sudden the grounds feel lush and green, unexpected plantings that really, you could almost, if you didn't know it were a jail, you could almost feel like you were walking through, you know, a Mediterranean villa or a European castle. And that was how we felt. When I had hesitation, David kept saying to me, but look at these stunning sandstone walls and look at the colour and the texture. I could tell he could already see this vision of how it could be imbued with a different essence. And I just had to, you know, trust in it and hold on to the coattails and go along for the ride. And again, it's time. Time was the thing that we really needed for it to have that ability to transform.
Okay, so let's go back to you, David, because it sounds like you're the big picture guy. You bought this back in 2018. You've done everything that you've done to it. It is on the market now. You've decided to sell up. What next? I mean, what are you going to be doing next after this?
Look, that's never been a problem for me. I wake up in the morning and, you know, there was an old book I used to read, you know, about a shoemaker, and the elves came out in the middle of the night and, you know, made the shoes, and he'd come and they'd actually grown. It seems like to me, from a young man, you know, sort of, I suppose, emotionally and socially, a very barren life due to, you know, a troubled and directionless childhood. You know, once I started to, you know, build my life, I realized that you had to spend a certain amount of your time at your craft and a certain amount of time manifesting frameworks and things to do and places to exhibit. And then, you know, I'd start exhibiting overseas and things. But from the very first stages, you know, I realized that I needed more than one thing at a time to get by, because, you know, I was only making enough as an artist to probably get through sort of, you know, 30% of what I needed to survive. And so I used to do up old furniture and objects and things, and had a shop with where I had my studio out the back. But then in South Australia, I used to buy derelict buildings and do them up.
All right, so just tell us a little bit more about you buying these derelict buildings, because it's obviously something that really attracts you. You can see the potential, and that's the thing with a lot of older buildings. People just can't always see that potential in them.
Yeah, well, the thing for me is, I mean, as a poor artist, I had to find the things that other people were missing. The greatest thing for me was to turn up to an open inspection and people would just sort of stand up the front, put their nose inside, and usually it was the smell, and so they couldn't bear the smell of going in inside. So people would just sort of surface level think, well, it smells, you know, someone's been squatting in here. Now, I bought an old biker's, you know, gathering and place with graffiti all over the walls. You know, that was like heaven to me. What I'd love to very quickly jump back to, which I think was a very pivotal part in getting the jail to a new stage, was bringing the gardens inside. There are a lot of small cells and they are the place of the greatest depravity. And what we did was we swapped the lights over to grow lights, and we put beautiful bonsais and beautiful plants in each of the cells. So, but also the illumination of the light meant that you could glance in quite easily and see the cells that were normally very dull. So there was actually growth in the cell where once there was decline.
All right. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of you, both of you, in this particular building. It is for sale. Now, I'm sure that if somebody is interested in buying it, you'd be only too willing to sit down and maybe have a beer or wine and tell the person a little bit of the story. Of course, we're so strapped for time with these podcasts. I feel like we could talk for an hour on this given subject. But hey, thank you both for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. Really appreciate it. And good luck for whatever is happening next in your lives.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Craig.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
You know, there are some pockets that are doing exceptionally well. You know, unit sales of high-rise buildings that have got strata issues, we're having challenges getting those moved. It's a very mixed market at the moment, but I'd say I'd still rather be a seller than a buyer right now.
Yeah, and those strata issues that you are talking about, they just seem to be just rearing their head every now and again, and bang, there's another one that has a bunch of issues and people being asked to, yes, you've got to dig deep into your pocket.
An example of that, a fairly high profile vendor of mine owned a property in Croydon. They paid $950, I think it was, back in 2019. There were strata issues in the building. They just wanted to, again, they were smart enough, business mind enough, just to look, get what we can, let's get this moved on. We let that go for $760 and he was happy to get it moved. Most people would say, oh man, that's crazy loss. But again, with these strata issues out there in some buildings, it is affecting it that by that much in many cases.
Listen to in-depth discussions with industry leaders on investing options, understanding different suburbs with insider perspectives and exclusive tips. We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.